You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Aha, my announcer friend, you got that wrong. Charlie is not in the studio today. Frank Proctor here, by the way, the sous chef of the garden. No, Charlie is in Philadelphia at the flower show down there, and I'm hoping that she's going to be calling in to give us a little report. But in her stead is a favorite guy of mine, a real good friend and fellow golfer. Now, he's not as bad as me on the golf course, but we have you're okay there?
No.
You're not on? Oh, yeah, you can turn up the sound down there. That's right. Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. We're getting all the kinks worked out with equipment here. Hey, good morning, Dennis. Welcome.
Frank, how are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Could you work out my kinks for me?
I did indeed. But yeah, the last time we were together was on a golf course in, Ballantrae.
That's right.
Right? And I had to borrow a couple of golf balls from you because I'd put all of mine in the pond.
Yeah.
Including the ones you gave me. So that pretty well tells you what kind of game I had.
Yeah, but what impressed me most was your horticultural skills
really?
On the golf course. The resodding.
Yeah, I could do that. Hey, listen, you know what? I better give the phone numbers on the air because should Charlie not talk, we've got a lot of time to fill between now and 10 o'clock. So here we go. In Toronto, my friends, you want to call and have a word, a question, or a comment for Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario. We'll talk about that in a minute. Phone number is in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra goes this way: call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian, our operator, know. And, you know what? I forgot my bell. Sebastian, you know where that is. I think it's on my table or in the drawer. Okay. We need that. We need the bell, for gosh sakes, in case you're a first-time caller. But in the meantime, Dennis, let's give a little plug to a place where you normally reside.
Yeah.
Landscape Ontario. Tell us a little bit about what they do.
Yeah. So the official name, Frank, is Landscape Ontario Horticultural Trades Association, which is a long mantra. Mm-hmm. But we have over 2,000 member companies across the province, and that could be a landscaper, a maintenance company, a greenhouse, irrigation. Mm-hmm. It covers the whole green profession, basically. So that's what we represent. Mm-hmm. Our main thing is education.
Right.
For the profession. We put on a lot of courses during the winter that our members come to, and that could be anything from pruning to interlocking bricks. So mm-hmm. We're a big partner at Canada Blooms. And I think the thing that I don't talk about enough, that I'm probably the most proud about with our members, is the community things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's from Windsor to Ottawa, all the way up to Georgian Lakelands, north of Barrie, they get involved with the community. So as members, they gather together, they donate their time, they donate material, and they've supported things like the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. The Cancer Survivor Park in Ottawa, in London. They did a wonderful thing for the Navy Memorial Garden. So, and they're so humble about it that they don't sort of talk about it very much.
And maybe they should more.
They should, because I think it's a fantastic thing that they do as a volunteer group.
Well, I know when Charlie is here on a regular basis, whenever a question comes up regarding a tree problem, whatever, the first go-to is, hey, call Ontario Landscape Ontario, find a good arborist.
Yes.
And they'll recommend an arborist to certified people.
Yeah. And I think, Frank, that's, you know, that's often the difference that I see. The advice that we're going to give today or Charlie gives every week often tends to be for the hobby gardener, the amateur gardener, which is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, and you mentioned an arborist, we hate the thought of someone climbing up a tree on a shaky step ladder holding a chainsaw. That scares the heck out of me. So at some point, it is right, Frank, to have a list or a resource, you know, to go to if you need some professional help in the garden. And if those questions come today, I'd be, you know, happy to sort of help people out.
That is super. Well, as we speak, Dennis Flanagan, I'm going to have to take a little bit of a commercial break here. I'm keeping my eye on the line in case we get a call through from Charlie in Philadelphia. Have you heard of that show down there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I haven't been in a few years. It is a fabulous, fabulous show. I think Charlie might mention to us the difference between we compare it to Canada Blooms, you know, up here in Toronto. You know, the difference is down there, the local horticultural society gets behind that show 100%, and really is the driving force behind the show. But beautiful show.
Okay.
You should go.
Well, if I can arrange it like Charlie has to have someone pay for me to go down there, I'll be on the plane post haste.
You didn't offer to carry your bags for it?
No, I said, squeeze me. I'm a little guy, you know. But didn't work. Didn't work, Dennis. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. A reminder for the phone lines, and you can call about anything at all. 416-360-0740 here in Toronto, anywhere in the province. It is toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We've waved bye-bye to February. Thank the good Lord for that, because that was a wicked, wicked month weather-wise. Oh. And here we are, first weekend into March. So we'll talk to you very shortly here on The Garden Show, broadcasting live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Dennis Flanagan, speaking of Charlie Dobbin, we've got her on the line right now from Philadelphia. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine, honey. Are they keeping you busy down there?
Oh, yeah. I've got a bus waiting outside the hotel. We're heading out to Longwood Gardens today.
Oh, wow. This is something you've wanted to do for so long, right?
Oh, gosh. I've heard so much about Longwood. I'm very, very excited. Oh, this is so... I'm having a great time.
Now, are you pushed for time, indicating that bus is waiting for you?
No. We're actually waiting for a couple of people to still join us. I'm with a media tour, so there's actually four of us all from the Toronto area here. Visit Philly has brought us down to show off Philadelphia and the flower show and Longwood and, oh, the restaurants. Telling you, I'm going to come back 20 pounds heavier than I left.
Oh, man. Okay, tell us what you've been up to, what you expect to do.
Well, I just got here about dinner time yesterday. So we went to a great restaurant called Tallulah's Garden, which is so appropriate considering I'm here for the flower show. And, all local foods, like really, really good, tasty. I had roasted duck for dinner. And then we went out to the Reading Terminal Market to grab a little breakfast.
Wow.
And now I'm just hanging out in my hotel lobby. And, it's so cool. I'm right downtown Philadelphia, right beside the convention center.
Isn't that terrific? Okay. Now, Longwood, tell us why is that so special?
Well, Longwood, I guess it's like 1700. I mean, that's the thing. You get in this neck of the woods, everything's really old. So I get Longwood started with a Quaker starting a farm, 1,000-acre farm in the 1700s. And over the years, different people owned it, but ultimately the DuPont family owned it. And now it's just this huge 1,000-acre public garden. And it's got acres of under glass plus acres outside. So we'll be concentrating on the under glass part, I think.
Wow. It sounds like a fascinating day you've got lined up. Does that continue into tomorrow as well?
Tomorrow I'll be visiting the convention center to see the Philadelphia Flower Show. I'm super excited about that. And, it's just nonstop. It's just between food and flowers. This is just amazing. Just an amazing weekend.
Well, next Saturday, I'm sure you're going to have reams of stories and all sorts of good things to talk about when you get back to us. You have a have a wonderful time down there.
Yeah, we're missing you here, Charlie.
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
I'm great. Frank had one concern. Are you actually driving the bus?
No, thank goodness.
You know what a take-control person generally is.
So listen, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. I'm just posting like crazy.
Are you?
Twitter,
Okay. That is great, Charlie. We'll let you go because I know you're going to be climbing on the bus in just a couple of moments.
Well, Dennis needs a few minutes to brush up on his horticulture, so he's going to...
I can't even spell it.
Yeah, good luck with the callers, my friend.
All right.
I hope some hard ones call in.
Okay. Thanks very much, hon.
All right.
Charlie Dobbin, direct and live from Philadelphia, the Garden Show down there, and it's Longwood is going to be explored today and the big convention center tomorrow. So we'll look forward to all the stories next week here on the Garden Show. And you're with Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, as we are being helped out, as we often are, by Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. Going to take a little bit of a break right here, come back, and if there are some calls, wonderful. If not, Dennis and I have scads of things to talk about, don't we, Dennis?
Yep, we do.
All righty, back in just a moment here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, Frank Proctor in for Charlie on this side of the desk, operating all the controls, and I haven't really screwed anything up so far. Stay tuned. And Dennis Flanagan, who is from Landscape Ontario, very capably handling whatever comes by here. As a matter of fact, we have a call online from an old friend, Werner, there in Tilsonburg. Good morning, Werner.
Good morning, Frank and Dennis.
Good morning.
What do you got in your mind?
Red maple tree. It's about 4 years old.
Uh-huh.
And it's got this crusty moss on it that's really hard.
Hmm.
Is there anything I can do about that?
Is it on the trunk?
No, it's... Well, there's some different color on the trunk, but up on the branches.
Yeah. Maple trees in particular are pretty, it's pretty common for them to get either lichen or any type of mold on a tree. To get to the end of the your question, they do not do any harm to the tree. I would take a guess. Today isn't a great day because the sun isn't shining, but my guess would be that it's on the shady side, probably on the north side of the tree. And that's simply because it doesn't get the sunlight to burn it off, and that's kind of what it needs. So feel free, Werner, just to take your thumb or a blunt back of a brush and just brush that stuff off if it bugs you. But it's not
harming the tree.
It's not harming the tree. No, it's just finding a place to grow in the shade. So it's another living little thing.
I shouldn't be spraying it.
No need to spray it. Just rub it off gently. And the quicker you get to it before it establishes on the trunk, because once it sort of gets into the little cracks and crevices of the trunk, it's more likely it'll stay on there. But it's more of a visual thing, Werner, than anything else. That's what's bothering people. Great day to get out there and stomp through 3 feet of snow and that's great because we all love red maples. You should.
How about Tilsonburg itself, Werner? What kind of a winter have you had? Much like everybody else?
Oh yeah, man. I went and bought a snowblower. When the first load came down, I was getting sick of the deep snow. Then it didn't snow.
Always the way.
They fooled me. They came back at me, and I used it. It's good.
Yeah. I think Murphy has something to say with that, doesn't he?
Murphy's Law. Yeah, you got it.
Tilsonburg. I remember going, Werner, to Tilsonburg a few years ago to their Horticultural Society to give a talk. What a fantastic society, because it's farm-based, mm-hmm. it's rural-based.
Used to be tobacco.
Yes, and I think, if my memory's correct, that they had probably one of the best young gardeners club, like encouraging juniors to get into gardening, and I was very impressed with the Tilsonburg Club back then.
Well, I was mentioning, Werner, to Dennis before we went on the air that last week we had a very special guest on the show, Emma Biggs, 13 years of age, who has written this marvelous book. And I'd encourage you, I can't remember the title of it now, but it's Emma Biggs. You ask for it at your whatever your favorite store is, your bookstore, and they'll have a copy of it, I'm sure. But it's just a dandy thing. We're so proud of her.
Yep.
And she's such a fine representative for young people, eh?
Absolutely. She's, you know, I sort of think of her as the poster child for horticulture and encouraging young people. And Frank, I think that's it's Charlie's goal, it's my goal, it's many people's goal in the profession to try to, as many times as we can, encourage young people to get involved in gardening, horticulture, whatever that means, growing some seeds, going to the local park, whatever that means, get involved. Lots of studies about how we've gone through a generation of people spending too much time inside and the harmful effects of that. And so, in fact, we have a display at Canada Blooms this year called Come Alive Outside, which is encouraging children that they should drop the screens, drop the phones, drop the iPads. And get out and play.
Yeah. I just had a little message from my girl, Cheryl, who said the name of the book is Gardening with Emma. Thanks
Gardening
for that, Shirley.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Gardening with Emma. Hmm. There you go. Werner, thank you very much for the question. Hope that answered your query about the kind of weird stuff on that tree, that red maple.
Yeah.
And you're welcome here anytime, my friend.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You take care of yourself now, okay?
Thank you.
You know, we were talking, Dennis and I, about, pardon me, what folks are facing as we get into now, the month of March.
Yeah.
What are gardeners out there concerning themselves with right about now?
A couple of things, Frank. One is if you're brave enough and the temperature's a little bit more pleasant than it's been, is to start getting outside and sort of investigating your garden after the winter. You know, we've had these heavy snowstorms, we've had these winds, and if there's a bit of damage to, you know, some of your shrubs and trees, the sooner, you know, you can do it now, you can do it today. If there's a broken branch, you really should be taking a good pair of pruners, pruning that off, a nice clean cut, because what you don't want to happen is more snow to come, more wind to come, and that branch get ripped down the trunk. It'll only do more damage. So that's number one. Number two is pretty soon to start thinking about starting up seeds inside the house. Mm-hmm. The rule of thumb is sort of 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost date is when you should start seeds inside. That's not to say that right now you can't start sterilizing the pots and trays, filling them up with a top grade potting mix, seed and cutting mix, making sure everything's clean. Sort of to get back to the previous caller, what we want to prevent is any type of fungus, mildew in those seed trays and those seed pots. So the you know, a nice clean start to the season. That's what people should be aiming at over the next couple of weeks.
You got it. Oh, I see that your friend Dougald Cameron is on the line. Now, this chap is a bulb expert and someone quite familiar with the folks at Canada Blooms. So let's welcome him to the line right now. Good morning, Dougald.
Good morning.
Nice to have you drop by and meet your old buddy here, Dennis Flanagan.
Hi, Dennis.
Dougal, nice for you to join us. I thought you'd be out in the garden in this fine weather.
I'm about to walk the dog, and then I will look at the garden after. I've got, I watch my, of course, I have a couple of shrubs that that bloom very early, and I'm checking them because that's sort of my first sign of spring.
Beautiful, so, like a witch hazel or a viburnum.
Yeah, the witch hazel is. Yeah, I've got ours is named Arnold, and we're all excited about Arnold.
Yeah. Well, Frank Duke, we've known for years. He used to run a fabulous bulb company, Garden Import, and he's been a big friend to the green profession. And two things I thought, Frank, we could talk to Dougal about today is one, you mentioned what could people do this time of year. Mm-hmm. Many people might have lifted up things like dahlias and glads and stored them for the winter.
Yep.
And now's the time, I think Dougal would agree, is to check in on those. So Dougal, for those, a couple of tips for those people that maybe stored some bulbs over the winter, what should they be doing right now?
Well, it's kind of similar to your early comment. You want to get ready to repot them, make sure you have the materials at hand. And I would suggest don't start too early. Many of these plants that are bulbs that people have kept over are from warm parts of the world, and they don't really like cold feet. So there's not a rush to get them started just yet. But I would say in the case of dahlias, you might want to give them a start in another couple of weeks, because the sooner you get them going, the sooner you'll have flower. Mm. So in the case of dahlias, take a look at them now to see how they're doing. They might have already started to shoot, in which case you might think about potting them sooner.
Right.
And of course, make sure you have adequate light or a place where they will get adequate light to grow them on, because they'll be looking for that light once they start to leaf out.
Right. Great tip. So the other thing with Dougal, Frank, is every year we invite six experts to Canada Blooms to judge the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty involved, cool event. Charlie has been a judge in the past, but, you know, she's off in exotic places, so we can't invite her. So, Dougal is very kindly volunteering and coming next week. And Dougal, just tell us two or three things that you'll be looking at when you're judging the gardens.
Well, there's such a variety of gardens this year at Canada Blooms. It's, I think, it really is something for everybody, regardless of your garden size, whether it be a balcony or you have a proper backyard. I'm looking for things that your average gardener can achieve, and also for gardeners to look at, if they have a new garden, they might want to give it some thought to the overall look of the place. So if it's going to be an entertainment area as well as a garden, to look at those sort of features. And, of course, plant material, because I'm a plant nerd. I like to see what kind of variety they've got.
Only in this profession would someone call themselves a nerd. You love it. I love it. I love Dougal. He's such a great guy. And we thank you for joining us. I hope we didn't delay your dog walking duties this morning.
She's just sitting by the door looking at me.
So I, on that note, I have one sort of personal question for you. Any tips for people that are walking dogs? I have my own pet peeves about people that walk dogs past my house, but I just, want to throw that out there to you.
Well, for heaven's sake, pick up after you.
Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's one of them. There are dog parks where you can take your dog and let them socialize with their compatriots, and that's a good place for your dog too, but don't let them off leash when you shouldn't, and because there are people who are terrified of these quite harmless animals.
Yeah, and so there it is, Frank, our friendly Scotsman. I wonder if he's wearing a kilt when he's out there walking.
No,
thank God the wind's not blowing. That's
no, I don't have the legs for it.
Dougal, just before you go, a quick plug for Canada Blooms. You got the dates handy in mind there?
Good heavens, yes. Well, it's next week.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
We judge on...
I think do give yourself a fair bit of time, because there's so much stuff there. And if you have questions, write them out, because there's been all kinds of experts there to answer them.
Yeah, opening day is next Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks so much, Dougal, for guesting on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Dougal Cameron, bulb expert and one of the judges for Canada Blooms, as they say, gets underway next Friday. Well, let's go to the lines here. Here's Diane from Toronto. Good morning, Diane. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just started gardening a couple of years ago, so my knowledge is extremely limited. One thing I'm doing, someone said to me about geraniums, if you take them in, dig them out, take the soil off them, and put them in a box over the winter, and then you can replant them again. Well, I have them in the box. Now, what do I do? Do I prepare them in some way before I plant them, and when do I plant them?
What a fantastic, good timing question. As we were asking Dougal, you know, that's exactly what you should be looking at. People that have brought in plants or bulbs, this is exactly the week to be looking at them. So a couple of tips is have a look at them to make sure that there hasn't been any rot over the wintertime. If there was a little bit of dampness, you could get a few black spots. They should be cut out. The next step would be to cut them down to about 3 inches so that they're going to restart from the base. As Dougal mentioned, you should be thinking about potting them up. And so, as I mentioned earlier, make sure you're using either a new or very clean pot. I'd say probably a 3 or 4 inch pot. Use some nice high quality indoor potting soil, and then start potting those little geranium in. Water them in, press them down with your thumbs so that you get a nice contact between the roots and the soil, and then we can start putting them on a windowsill to get some light to encourage that new growth to come.
Is there a danger with some folks maybe watering too much?
Yeah, Frank, you're absolutely right. You must be listening to Charlie over
the years. I was, actually.
Yes, you can. And so the rule of thumb, you know, is to just keep them moist to the touch and not overwater them until those new leaves come out. So it's a balance. The more leaves come, the more water they need.
Yeah, right now, some of the branches are green and they have new little leaves.
Wonderful.
Others have gone brown. I'm assuming that part is dead.
Yep.
Now, the part that has the new little leaves, do I leave that alone or do I cut that back too?
How long are they? How long are those stems?
Oh, some of them are about 8 inches, as they were from the garden when I took them in.
Yeah, good. So you're not going to do any harm by cutting them back to 3 inches, 3 or 4 inches. You'll get just more growth, and the growth will be thicker. You don't want them sort of getting too stringy at this point in time. You want to try and keep a fairly compact plant. So cutting them back, good sign that there's green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. And you know, congratulations to you. As a new gardener, you know, that's quite a challenge you took on. Well done.
Good for you, Diane.
Well, thank you for your help.
Okay.
I think, Frank, you...
Now, listen, are you a first-time caller?
I phoned once before many years ago. I've even forgotten the question. I guess it was when, I don't know, whatever I was asking, but I phoned once before, yes.
Well, I'm going to give you the ring of the bell anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You have earned it.
Okay,
maybe she gets the dong, not the ding.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Diane, thank you very much.
Okay,
here on Zoomer Radio. We're going to be having a word with Siva shortly. We have to take our next little break here. The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, a special guest host today, Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. I'm Frank Proctor. We'll come back in just a moment.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Dennis Flanagan in the chair today, and subbing in for Charlie Dobbin, who's down in Philadelphia at the big flower show down there. On the line with us right now, Siva. Good morning, Siva. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. I was calling to find out when is Canada Blooms. But then, as I got through, I heard the gentleman say next Friday.
Yeah, so. No. Good question, though. And let me just sort of give a couple of tips about Canada Blooms. If you're coming, try to come by public transit. The GO train comes right into Exhibition Place, a great way to get there. The busiest times tend to be between 10 and 3. And then when the buses leave, it's a little quieter.
So okay.
If I was giving you a tip, come after 3 o'clock.
Okay.
It's a little less crowded. Make sure you bring some comfortable shoes and a notepad. Because when you're walking around, you might meet famous people like Frank Proctor, and you might want to get an autograph.
I know. I always miss him at the other shows, so I hope I see him this time.
Great, Siva. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. Let me remind folks of the phone numbers here in Toronto, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Now, we did have moments ago a young lady by the name of Kathy on the line from Hamilton, and the call just dropped off, and I was kind of anxious to welcome her because she was a first-time caller. So,
call
hey,
back.
Kathy, give a call back. Sebastian will keep an eye on that line, and we'll see if we can't get you on the air. Okay.
Yeah, when we were chatting just before we came on the air, mm-hmm. Frank, you were showing me some photos of your little trip south
to Florida. Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have a chance to stop you on one of the photos because you had a photo of a full moon.
Yes.
Right?
Now, they call it the snow moon down
the
there.
The snow moon, yeah.
That, why? I never did find out the reason.
Yeah, I think it's
the
color.
Absolutely beautiful.
That's what it is. But it got me thinking, there's a lot of interest in what's known as moon gardening, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And, you know, if someone's an expert on that and they want to call in, that would be fabulous. My understanding of moon gardening is if the plant bears fruit underground, so carrots and parsnips, you want to plant those seeds during the between the new moon and the full moon. I guess the principle is, the folklore is, that as the moon develops, it draws the plant up and you get a stronger plant. So it's a bit of a fascinating subject.
Well,
actually.
You know, it's amazing, the gravitational pull that the moon causes, because we were right next to the ocean, about, I would say, 40, 50 feet from the actual water's edge. And that night, when that full moon showed up, the snow moon, the water the next morning was way up. My gosh, we lost most of the beach.
Wow.
It was a son of a gun.
So there could be some folklore, some truth in growing plants and when to plant them. I think one of the best resources that I've seen is the Harris Smith mm-hmm. Gardening magazine that gives some, I think it gives a calendar actually on when to plant things in relation to the full moon. And it's you know, I often write about the top trends in gardening, uh-huh. and I was doing an article last week, and that happened to be one of the top trends that's coming back in gardening, and it sort of piqued my interest a little bit. So, when Charlie comes back, maybe she could devote some research and time on mooning on Zuma Radio.
Trust
what do you think?
Trust you to bring mooning. All right. We'll consider that along with some lawsuits that might ensue. Dennis, you're a nut. Anyway, we hope that if you have a question, you'll fire it at Dennis Flanagan this morning here from Landscape Ontario. More thoughts of coming up with spring now.
Yeah.
We've got another good, I would suspect, 3 weeks left of winter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least.
Yet.
So we often refer to, in gardening, the gardening zones.
Yes.
And it kind of, sort of puts people off a little bit. So you can Google it nowadays very easily to find out what zone that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is it's based on the last frost date in your area. So it'll be different from London, Ontario, to North Bay, Ontario, to Ottawa, Ontario. So it's based on what we call the last frost date, which is when we expect you could have the last frost date in your area. So that basically is what the zone map and tells you, if you sort of take that a little farther. When you look at tags, when you're buying a plant, uh-huh. it has on the tag suitable for zone 3, suitable for zone 5, mm-hmm. and everyone that's listening should know, understand what zone they live in, so they're buying the right plant.
Exactly. And yeah. and by visiting your local garden center, yeah. they'll know yeah. what to recommend to you, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. We have a line right now occupied by Jenny. Merton, is that the correct town there, Jenny? Good morning.
Yeah. We knew each other for years back.
Now, I'm thinking
for the champ.
Merton.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Pallets.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Anyways, I got a question for Dennis.
Yeah.
Yes.
I put a tomato from Mexico in the window about 4 or 5 days ago. Thought the son of a gun is going to ripen sooner or later. I went and opened it up yesterday. I got about 300 tomato plants growing in my tomato on the windowsill.
What?
Inside?
Is it too easy or too hard? Is it too early to plant those suckers?
No.
It's
isn't
a beefsteak.
Yeah, isn't that cool? No. So what you got to do is you know, get a little pair of tweezers or a nail file, something like that, that you can carefully take them out. I would get a seed tray with the individual what we call cells,
okay.
And transplant them into those little cell packs. You're better off using a mister to water them because
okay.
they're so tiny that if you try to water them otherwise, you'll probably wash them out. So
what about my pea pots? I got to soak them first, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
That's a good tip. Thank you. So peat pots are fabulous. The advantage of that is you don't have to, as you know, you don't have to transplant them when you're putting them outside. You can just plant the whole pot in the ground.
And don't forget my eggshells when I stick them in the ground.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
That's,
I grew up on a farm.
Yeah. That's very cool. What a great connection, some great tips. I'm hoping that when we get off the line, you might share a story. Obviously, you knew Frank a few years ago. And we
long time ago.
Yeah, well, we do collect, there's a chalkboard here with some stories about Frank's history, and probably when we're...
funny because my boss knew I liked to watch a certain program on TV.
That would be
and
the...
one day Frank and I came in, and I was like 24 years old, and he said, Jenny, come here, I want you to meet somebody. Well, I was dumbfounded. When I walked around the corner, I almost dropped my tray. It was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And it was funny because I said I watched her when I was pregnant with my daughter. Well, she was pregnant when she was doing the program.
That's right.
With her oldest boy, with Toby, wasn't it?
That's right.
Wow.
Well, I said Kelly, maybe. Well, it could have been Toby, yeah. Could have been Toby.
Great memories.
What Jenny's
referring
to is my late wife, Di Nyland Proctor, and she was the star of The Trouble with Tracy on CTV.
Wow.
Low these many years ago. Jenny, thank you very, very much for not only the question, but bringing up a fond memory or two. I really appreciate that.
I wish I could get to Canada Blooms.
Well,
it's ridiculous. Oh,
keep working at it.
For a couple of years, my car.
Darn. Okay. Well, thank you, and call in again anytime, okay, love? We have to take a commercial break here on Zoomer Radio. To be back with Dennis Flanagan, subbing in for Charlie Dobbin on The Garden Show from AM 740.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And in the chair for Charlie Dobbin today, Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. It's been a ball having you in the studio again here, Dennis. We're just thinking about some of the things that gardeners should be concerned with right about now as we, well, now into March and toward the last throes of winter. It's not over yet, my friends.
No.
What do folks have to keep in mind?
Well, I think particularly this year, Frank, it really has been quite a challenge, the winter year this year. Records have been broken as regards amount of snow some communities have had. So what does that translate into the garden? There's a good and bad story here, actually. Snow in general can be a very good insulator for many plants. Mm-hmm. So that's the good news story. Plants that could have been damaged in winters where we don't have snow, they've had some protection. The bad news story possibly is the weight of that snow, how heavy, and that ice. Remember the ice storm?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, you know, yep. That heavy ice sitting on shrubs and trees can cause damage. And you don't see it immediately. Sometimes you only see it when that ice starts to thaw. So that mm-hmm. it's critical, you know, to get out there and do a check of your garden as soon as you can. And do some early pruning if that's needed. And a lot of questions I get is about salt. Because we've used a lot of lot of salt this winter, and safety is number one concern for people. Mm-hmm. If there's some concern that you've got a little bit too much salt on your gardens or lawns, lots of water in the spring.
Okay. Here's a call coming in from Wanda in Scarborough. Good morning, Wanda.
Oh, good morning to you both. My question is regarding watering some houseplants. One is a lantana. It is blooming. I just have a north bay window, and it has three buds coming, too.
Beautiful.
Right.
I love lantanas. One of my favorite tropical plants. Question is about watering, right, Wanda?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so my first question back to you is, what sort of size of pot is it in?
Roughly. It's about a 6-inch pot.
6-inch pot, and how tall is the plant?
It's about 8 inches.
All right, so my first guesstimate would be probably twice a week. With most tropicals, most houseplants, it's better if you can take it to the laundry sink or to a sink.
Yeah.
Run the water through it and let that water run through the pot all the way.
Oh.
And that does a lot for the plant. You're guaranteed you're getting a thorough watering. And just a little tip. Sometimes this time of year, people are complaining about fruit flies, or what they call fruit flies. They're fungus gnats. And by adding a little bit of dish detergent to that water and running it through the pot, you will take care of the eggs that are nesting in that soil. So lantana, wonderful. And as long as when you put your index finger down into the soil, about an inch, that it's still moist, that's probably your best sign that you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. And for the, I have a geranium that I repotted just right from the garden.
Yep.
And it's about 4 inches high. It has three little branches.
Good for you.
Thank you. So now, do I just give it a little bit of water?
Yeah, and you're going to increase that. So to an earlier call, as it sets on more leaves, it's going to require more watering. So it's a little bit of a monitoring. Same test, put your finger in the pot, keep it just damp to the fingertip. But isn't a sign of spring? Good for you, Wanda.
Yeah.
There's some green coming on geraniums. Oh.
Wanda, thank you very much for your call. We're just running out of time here on the show. In fact, just time enough to thank Dennis Flanagan so much for popping in to take care of biz for Charlie Dobbin, who, as you've heard off the top of the show, is in Philadelphia for a fabulous day of visiting all sorts of wonderful spots like Longwood.
Yeah.
We'll hear more about that next week. Dennis, you take care of biz for Landscape Ontario.
We're going to get a game of golf in this coming summer?
Absolutely. Let's do that.
Good man.
I've been boning up on my swear words, and I'm all set to go. Hey, Sebastian, thank you very much for all your help, my friend. He's our operator, and he'll, of course, be back with me this afternoon when I return from 1 through till 3:30 live in the city, the name of that show. And I hope you're going to be listening tomorrow evening from 7 through to 11 for BBSN, Big Band Sunday Night. Stay tuned for the Garage Guys coming by next. Dave's Corner Garage on the way here on Zoomer Radio.
The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin is brought to you by Stokes Seeds. Select from the finest quality vegetable and flower seed at StokesSeeds.com and get growing with Stokes.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.